Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your presence in this house this morning. I thank you, Lord, you never leave us. You never leave us, but there are times that we sense your presence in much greater way, and your presence is manifest in a greater way than some other times. And we're just so grateful that you showed up so powerfully this morning with the goodness and sweetness and kindness of who you are. Lord, right now we just want to give honor to your word. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me to flow with you and share this word like you would. And I ask you to open the eyes of our understanding and help us to understand what you're wanting to say to us this morning and to know and understand our place in this hour, in Jesus' name, not only individually but as a church. In your name we pray. Amen. It's kind of interesting it's actually kind of scary to me sometimes because all week long I had no clue where we were going. And I get like, you know. I mean, I could talk about something, but who wants that? We don't. I don't. You don't. I just want to know what the Lord wants to say to us. And Friday morning, boom, I mean, all week long, I told you, I'm up all through the night. And every time I would awaken, every single time, I was like, Lord, where do you want to go? I don't have an agenda. My agenda is to follow you. Where do you want to go? And Friday morning, it was the easiest thing. Now it's a whole lot more than than we can handle in one setting. I may go back into it next week, Lord willing. We'll see how that goes. It's like he put so much in my heart. And that was why this morning on the way here, I'm like, Lord, I really need you to help me that I don't end up on bunny trails and off in the woods somewhere and don't know how to get back where I need to be. So y'all can just believe God for me to do that. I think I'm there now, right? So anyway, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. I do want to say this with what I had just said. I am grateful that God always has a direction for us. He always has something he wants to say to his people. And I'm just thankful. And so we received the word this morning. Verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, I'm not sure, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, how about Parasites and all the otherites? Seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriage with them, nor shall you give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord would be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. So he said there were seven nations mightier than you. Actually, when you look that up, this is something he dropped in my spirit this morning. And I ran and looked it up really quick. It actually is not mightier as in stronger. What nation could be stronger than the nation whose God is God? If they depended on him. The word is not mightier as in strength. The word actually means you're more numerous. So these seven nations are more numerous than you. There's a whole lot more of them than there are of you, is what he's saying. He said, make no covenant with them. Don't intermarry with them, nor give your kids, because your sons will go away from following God to serve other gods. You're to destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, burn their carved images with fire. You're a holy people to the Lord. That word holy is pure, unmixed. He wanted a pure, holy, unmixed from the other nations of the world. And the only way to stay holy, unmixed, is get rid of those other nations. Drive them out. Destroy their idols and so forth and so on. The only way to keep them holy was get rid of the stuff that's going to lure them away. Israel was to get rid of these nations, drive them out, and completely annihilate, get rid of the pagan worship, the pagan ways. They were to get rid of all that. Because if they were going to serve God and live holy before God, then all the ungodly influence had to be removed. Amen? See, God knew that those other nations and their ungodly ways and their pagan worship would continually be a temptation for Israel. They would continually be enticed by their worship and their ways. And God wanted Israel to serve him only and to be that holy nation unto him. Now, I found out in looking into this, doing some research, I sat at that table over half a day, Friday at least, right? I'd have to get up and down because of my knee, but I was right back at it. In looking into this, though, each of these nations was not a distinct group necessarily, but a term that encompassed different Canaanite tribes with practices that were considered to be morally corrupt. They were of the Canaanite tribe, but they were different little groups. Ancient people had a simple approach to their names. They would call their names by an obvious trait, a characteristic, traditions, occupations, things that they did, their little culture of how they did stuff. For instance, the Hittites, the word Hittite actually means terror. These guys were giants, and everybody was scared of them. So they named them Hittites, which meant terror. That was their name. Canaanite meant merchants who humiliate. And these guys were sea merchants. They were traders. They were known to be greedy. They were greedy and motivated by greed and desire for more money and wealth and gain. And they used humiliation as a tactic in how they would do their trading, how they would do their dealings. Therefore, they were merchants who humiliate. And that's what Canaanite means. That's the definition of the word Canaanite. That other was the definition of the word Hittite. See, God wanted a people who were completely devoted to him so that he could bless them through his righteous way of judging, his powerful protection, his generous provision, His goodness, His kindness, and that all the other nations would be able to see them and see how blessed they were, and that was a reflection of the God they served. These people are like, whoa, their God must be amazing. These other guys had multiple gods. And they had this one God who took care of everything. So God wanted Israel to influence all the other nations of the earth, but they had to get the ites out first. The instruction was drive them out, and that was just meant to prevent Israel from being influenced by their idol worship and their pagan practices. So God wants to influence and bless the other nations, but He's choosing to do it through the family, the lineage of the one He made covenant with, which was Abraham. The one He had made covenant with. That's the one He said, I will make of you a great nation, and you and your descendants will influence the other nations of the earth. They will bless the nations. I'll bless you, and you will bless the other nations. I'll bless your descendants. They'll bless the other nations. In Deuteronomy 28, you can turn there if you want, but what we see in Deuteronomy is this. The covenant that God made, those of you who we've talked about, I think most of you in here understand when I talk about covenant. And there are blessings to covenant, to being obedient to covenant, and staying in covenant. Their place for Israel was to stay in covenant with God by obeying what He told them to do. And He says in Deuteronomy, these are the blessings of obeying me. These are the blessings of staying in covenant with me. And then there's also, later on in the chapter, you'll see the curses of not doing that. Okay? Curses out there. If you'll stay in obedience to me, you'll be protected. If you don't obey me, the protection will be removed. You'll be out there underneath all the curse that's out there. And in verse 10, he said of chapter 28, he's talking about, oh, you'll be blessed this way, that way, in the field, in the country, in the city, etc., etc. He says in verse 10, then all the people of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. In other words, by the way you're blessed, all the other nations will see who your God is, and they'll be afraid of you. The fear, the respect from the other nations had to do with who Israel's God was. And we know that because when they were about to go into the promised land, they were actually going to go in. I don't mean when they first sent those 10 spies out. But when they were actually going to go in, they sent out a few spies again to get ready. And when they went out in chapter 2, they saw Rahab, the harlot. She said, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. What you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard this stuff, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So it's like, hey, when we heard how your God blesses you, we were terrified. We have great respect and honor and fear of you because of your God. God went on, He tells Israel, you won't have to borrow from other nations. They're going to borrow from you through the way that I bless Israel. The other nations are going to fear me, they're going to respect me, and they're going to be drawn to me. Amen. Listen, that's still true today. It is. It's still true today. And so, I was actually looking up one thing, fell onto that other thing that I shared with you, and then I accidentally, maybe not accidentally, but then I stumbled upon this other thing too that I want to share with you. There was a rabbi, born in the late 1700s. He lived through 1869. He had done so much extensive research on the history of Israel. And he said that the Jews, after time, lost their ability to distinguish the Amalekites. So therefore, the command to get rid of them, they let go of it. They didn't continue in that. Remember, Israel was to be holy, pure, unmixed with the world. And they were to stand out distinctively as a people who belonged to God. But they had become so blended, so mixed, they couldn't tell the difference. So they didn't kill them no more, because I don't know, you might be my third cousin, I don't know. I don't know if you're an Amalekite or if you're really a Jew, I don't know. Are y'all with me? That's true today too though, isn't it? It's hard to know who's a believer and who's not. Who's people who say they're Christians but believe all kinds of crazy stuff. That's not in this word. That is actually contrary to God's word. And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to say sometimes who is a Christian and who's not. Because they don't stand out distinctively as people who are set apart unto God. They live mixed with the world. They look just like the world. They talk like the world. They act like the world. Come on. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, God said this, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them to fear me and to obey me so it could go well with them and their children." Think about the father who has this people who he would do everything for them to bless them over and beyond. Because through them, he wants to be able to influence the other nations of the earth as being the greatest God ever. All right? And they won't obey. He's like, "Oh, that there was a heart in them that they would obey me so it could go good for them, so it could go good for their children after them." That's the heart of the Father. To fear him, respect and fear him and obey him. And I mean, I'm just thinking about, wow, can you imagine the father feeling that way? And that's exactly how he felt. And then we see in Ezekiel chapter 36, his plan, so to speak. He said in verse 24, "I'm going to take you from among the nations and gather you out of their countries. Bring you into your own land. I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." In other words, that hard heart you've got, I'm going to give you a soft, tender heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. That's being born again. He's prophesying about being born again. He goes on, he said, "I'm going to put a new spirit in you." And then in verse 27, "And I'm going to put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them." That's the new birth. He's saying you'll get a new heart. And then I'm going to put my spirit in you. It sounds to me like we still need help. You hear me? I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to put my spirit in you too. Because he will enable you. He will empower you and cause you to be able to keep my commands and walk in my ways. That's powerful. That's very powerful. Because you saw with this, you see with Israel, they just couldn't do it. Yeah, they just stayed mixed up with the world, with the other nations. They just stayed mixed in with it. Now, in the Old Covenant, the enemies were literal people, okay? They were real people. And the fight was real flesh and blood fight. It was straight up fisticuffs, swords, arrows, whatever. But in the New Covenant, the enemies are not real people. Our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And our weaponry is not the same weaponry. We don't fight flesh and blood and so forth. We use the power of the name of Jesus. We use the power of the Word of God. We use the power of the blood of Jesus. We use the power by wearing that armor of His Word and using that armor. That's what we're fighting with. And the cool part of it is, when Jesus went to the cross, He actually defeated the ites for us. You know what I'm saying? He defeated the enemy and deprived him of his power to harm us. He did. The Bible tells us so. In Romans 6, He destroyed its ability, sin's ability to rule over you. You know, they were constantly tempted to go after the other gods. Jesus destroyed sin's ability to rule over you. Romans 6:14, sin shall have no longer have dominion or rule over you. Chapter 8, it says He condemned sin. When we died with Christ, when we were born again, we died with Him, we were freed from the power of sin. So we see in Romans 6:7-8, all through there, because of what Jesus did for us, we should consider ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God. Amen? Dead to the power of sin. We should be, when you feel any kind of a temptation, you don't have a right to rule over me. I'm dead to that. I'm alive unto God and His way of doing and being right. I'm dead to that. See, Israel struggled with it. We've been made free. Amen. We've been made free. Now, we're going to start doing some of this number, so y'all hang with me, okay? If anybody gets thrown out of the car while we're turning, raise your hand up. We'll go back and get you, okay? All right. I'm serious as I can be. I get thrown out of the car when I'm riding with the Lord all the time. I'm like, wait, whoa, what are you talking about? Our assignment in the world, in the earth, has not changed. We are still called to be holy and pure and influence the nations of the world. We're still called to do this. Y'all with me? Now, in the 1960s, there were two men, two different locations, didn't talk to each other about it at the time, but the Holy Spirit gave each one of these men a revelation, an understanding, just downloaded this understanding of seven different areas in a society, in a region, over an area, seven different influences over that area. They're called seven mountains of influence. They are family, church, education, media, arts and entertainment, business, government. Now, I've talked about this before, but the Lord's bringing us back here again, okay? And I've made mention of it some here and there, but we're heading back there again. There are seven areas of society that shape how people think, that shape how they live their lives, that shape how they respond to things in life. The Lord spoke in the 80s to Lance Wallnau. And that's when the Lord began to talk to him about it, he began sharing it, and some other people were like, hey, wait, God gave that to Bill Bright. God gave that to Lauren Cunningham back in the 60s, Youth with a Mission. God spoke of that way back then. And what the Lord was saying was, it is the mandate of the church to influence these seven mountains that influence society. Okay? When I say this word mountain, it's actually referring to kingdoms or high places where possibly principalities and powers rule from. Would you say, just a few questions here, would you say that there have been some principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places ruling from media? Would you say that there had been some of those demonic spirits ruling from the mountain of arts and entertainment? And the way they rule and influence, then those areas rule and influence over areas and regions and nations, etc. Are y'all following me? Our place is to be able to go in there and influence with kingdom values, with the way God does things, with kingdom rule and kingdom values, and be able to influence the people who are in there, thus being able to influence media, arts and entertainment. Arts and entertainment, I'm happy to say there's some Christian movies coming out, and they're getting better. Some earlier ones, the production wasn't necessarily so great. They were still worth seeing because of the content, you know. But what I'm saying is, things like that are beginning to take place. But when you look at that, you can see how these areas shape how people think. If Facebook said it, it's the truth, right? If the media says it, oh, it's the truth, right? They will lie to you. And I think about the influence of all of that. Now, some people in time past who've talked about this seven mountains, you know, would make statements like, we're going to go take those mountains for the kingdom of God. And that's kind of a rougher way of saying it. Maybe it's not the best way to say it. That's kind of how they said it in the Old Testament, okay? That is kind of how they said it in the Old Testament. You could go in there and drive them out, okay? But they were driving people out. We want to influence those people. We want to get them born again, and then we want the mountain of media to be able to influence in a godly way, okay? With truth. So we're not saying it like we're going to go take over, I mean. But instead, we want to go in and influence. Somebody's preaching over there. Didn't sound like me. So we want believers to be able to influence in every single area of these mountains. Obviously, family is the priority to the Lord. The church is a priority. But from there, we want to be able to influence in these other areas. We have a lot of teachers in here. I'm thankful for that. We have a lot of teachers in this house. That's one area our teachers have been able to go in and live out before these kids. And I don't know how much influence they've been able to have beyond that, you know, as far as some other teachers for sure, but I don't know about higher up. I just know that that's where it begins. It just starts there, okay? We want to influence them, but then we also want to be able to influence in a bigger way where education is concerned. So now, are y'all okay? So the bottom line is, this is still part of our mandate. Jesus said, I want to let's look at this. Jesus said in Mark chapter 17, the Great Commission. We see it in Matthew and we see it in Mark. In Mark 17, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, it doesn't mean you go out and you just go start grabbing snakes. They lived in wilderness. Snakes were everywhere. It means if one comes, or bites you, it doesn't hurt you. It also doesn't mean that you go start drinking deadly stuff. It means that if you did happen to drink something deadly, it would not harm you, okay? We've had people say we were snake handlers because we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. One of them came to a birthday party. We had the party over here, so we put a sign on the door over there that goes into the conference room. Snake room. That wasn't nice, was it? They knew we were joking, okay? They knew we were joking. But we just said, y'all remember that? I thought it was funny. You remember that? Snake room. No, we don't just pick them up and handle them. But if you get bit, don't freak out. You say, you will not harm me in the name of Jesus. That's what Paul did. Now, in Matthew 28, the commission statement that Matthew shares that Jesus gave, it didn't like Jesus only told them this and only told them this. He gave the statements. He grabbed that portion of it. He grabbed that portion of it, okay? Both portions are vital. Jesus said in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore," and you is the understood subject, "you go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, I ask the Lord at that point, how does this connect with seven mountains and those seven nations? What's the connection here? How does this connect? And I'm telling you, I heard in my spirit, I'll show you. I'm sitting there like, go ahead, show me how in the world this connects. Because those seven mountains of influence are made up of different ethnos groups of people. When he said go to the nations, the word nation is ethnos. It's not talking about Iraq, Iran, US, Canada, Afghanistan. It's talking about ethnos. It's a Greek word, ethnos, which means different kinds of people groups. And they are based on their likes, their dislikes, their culture, their characteristics, their values, their ambitions, their interests, their language. Okay? We had ethnos groups in my school. They were freshmen, hippies, athletes, preppies, nerds. Come on. Rednecks. Rednecks. How could I forget that? How could I forget that? They are ethnos groups of people. And he's saying, go into all the world and make disciples of the different ethnos groups of people. That's why he does so well with the football area, because they speak the same language. They understand. And he's able to go in there and make a powerful influence in that area. Are y'all following me? That's exactly what those seven mountains are. They're different groups of people who speak their own kind of language. They carry their own kind of interests and so forth. You let people who are in arts and media talk to people who are in government, and those guys in government don't have a clue what they're talking about. Because they speak their own language, you know? They have different interests, a different culture of people who are in arts and entertainment. They have a language and desires and values all their own. Are y'all following me okay? Are you seeing that those seven mountains of influence are different ethnic groups of people? Not nations as in Iran, Iraq, etc., but nations. And then what Jesus said to us wasn't just get them saved, but go in there and make disciples of these people in all these different groups of people. Go in and make disciples of them, teaching them to observe what I taught you, what I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. I'm here. I'm with you to help you with it. Are y'all following me? What's happened though? See, this is part of our mandate as the church. While the church is busy trying to grow the church, Are y'all hearing me? With different programs and things we can do to attract people, what's happening is the world is discipling the nations. The world is influencing all these other areas, all the ethnic groups. The world's come in influencing media. The world has come in influencing arts and entertainment. You have Christians who say, I ain't getting into nothing like that. That's of the devil. Well, then go in there. If you're called in that area, go in there and make a difference. It doesn't have to stay called by the devil, right? Same with media, same with government. If you're called in that area, go in and make a difference. Go in and influence with kingdom values. They've been going in and discipling those mountains, those ethnos groups of people, and they are the ones influencing our society. So we've personally and as the church must become aware of this and begin to ask the Lord, what is my area? See, I don't feel like I'm called any of that stuff. The church, family. You know, family's first. That's the priority one. But I don't, and my calling is definitely to family, but it's also to the church. But there are other people who may feel, you know, a leading in a different kind of direction like that. Now, I told you, I think, already, but I want to remind you, those seven nations that we read about, all the ites, they weren't nations like Israel, Ethiopia, Mozambique, Iran. They weren't nations like that. They were distinct groups of people that had come out of the Canaanite nation. They were distinct groups of people with their own characteristics, traditions, and occupations. Remember, they named themselves according to that. They were ethnos groups too. You see, the assignment hasn't changed. It was that then, and it still is now. Did y'all follow that okay? They're like the seven mountains. Those seven nations are like the seven mountains in the sense that they are all ethnic groups of people with their own cultures and ways. And Israel was called to go in. Now, they were to annihilate and their gods and so forth. They were to drive them out of the land. What we're supposed to be doing, though, is we're supposed to be praying. And we're supposed to be going in with godly influence and not allowing what they go after to affect us. We've got to be strong in our own place as a believer, as a Christian. That's why he said, I'm going to give you a new heart, I'm going to give you a new spirit, and I'm going to put my spirit in you to cause you to be able to do this. Because we are people, we are frail, and sometimes we're wimpy. And we give way to stuff, and we let them influence us instead of us influencing them. That's true, isn't it? Unfortunately. I want to see that change. I want us to make such a powerful impact in whatever area we're in, whether it's at the hospital, in the medical area, wherever it is, the gas company, wherever it is, schools. We have a lot to do with schools and medical in this house. But whatever area it is, the kids at the school, whatever area it is. And you actually can do the same thing just going into Walmart or wherever. You can do the same. My little girl that I prayed for that day, I told you about weeks and weeks and weeks ago, she and her husband are doing really well. I'm so grateful. And I hope she knows that was the Lord that healed your marriage, because it was about to fall apart. He'd already left her a bunch. I hope she remembers it was the Lord who gave, who took care of that for her, who helped her. So y'all good? I'm going to do, am I going to do this? I'm not. Did y'all get this okay? I was going to do a recap, and I thought, you know what? They're not stupid. They understand what I'm saying. And if they don't understand it, I told you to raise your hand. I use stupid, bad words, don't I? I'm sorry. And you're not stupid if you don't understand it. You just need to raise your hand like I do with God all the time. I'm like, what does that have to do with that? I just love how he said, I'll show you. Like, sit tight, and I will show you, girl. You know, Israel, they stayed in covenant with God by obeying His word. We stay in covenant with God through our relationship. Yes, we obey, but we do it through our relationship with Him. We stay and keep ourselves in covenant with Him in doing that. And through that, people see your life is different. Why are you at peace when all this is going on? How come you love your wife? You love your husband? How come y'all aren't fighting like cats and dogs? How come your family can all get together? People think it's the craziest thing that my family all goes to the beach together. They thought it was crazy when the whole Crow family went to the beach together. I mean, we had to have all a bunch of different houses because there were so many of us. But they're like, we don't even like each other that much. That's sad. I don't always agree with everything in my family, but I sure do love them. I'm not talking about these guys. I'm talking about beyond. Amen. So I want us to learn to, Lord, help us to know. Help us know how we can influence other people. Help us know. Because we want to fulfill this mandate He's given us. He doesn't just throw it out there and call it a mandate, but you can do it or not. It's called a mandate. Are y'all hearing me? It's like a command. We're commanded to do this. Let's stand to your feet. I think the recap I wrote out was for me. Make sure I was understanding what I was doing, what we were talking about. Oh, Father, we're so thankful to You for who You are. You saved us. You ransomed our lives. You ransomed us. You saved us. You destroyed sin's power over us. It couldn't hold us hostage anymore. You gave us Your Holy Spirit so we could stand boldly with Your word through the power of the Holy Spirit, covered by Your blood, covered by the armor of Your word, and we could stand and make a difference against darkness and for Your kingdom. You took care of so much in our places to stand that ground. Hold that ground, hold that territory, and continue to influence people. So God, we thank You this morning. If there was anybody who, any part of it brought a place of confusion, I ask You to settle that. And Lord, I ask You to help us to know and understand that we all have places of influence. We're probably all in them right now. It isn't like we've got to get out and move and do something different. We're probably already in those places of influence, and you may increase them. I don't know. But we are in places right now that we can influence other people just by and through our relationship with you. And so I ask you to encourage everyone in this room in this. Help their eyes be open to the reality of this so that they're more aware of what they're doing and what you've called them to do. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your word. I thank you and I praise you that you have direction for this people. And though we may be small in number, the God who lives inside of us is mightier than all. And there's not anything you can't overcome. And there's nothing to limit what we can do if you tell us to do it. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these people. What a wonderful Thanksgiving time we were able to have. So much to be grateful for. We pray for those, Lord, who may have struggled through the holidays, that may have been hurting, may have been sick, maybe didn't have family with them, maybe they'd lost some members of their family, maybe it was a hard time for them. We just ask you to minister peace over them and life. We give you thanks and praise for this holiday season we've stepped into, the season where we celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord. May we keep that as the focus of our attention throughout this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Does anybody need prayer for anything else?